reading to you from the third chapter of Romans and with the 28th verse. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Nolan. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, we had such a wonderful service at the prison last week, the quartet, my wife and I. And there were several, 21, I think, prayed to receive Christ. And then I got a call the next day from the chaplain saying, there's another man wants to see you. I went out there and saw him and introduced him to Christ. He's getting out next week. And then I got another call. I've got to go back out to prison and see what this other man wants. Listen, I'll be with you for a half hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers? Sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans. Now I got to turn back here. 8th chapter of Romans, reading with the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then to turn to 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The name of this message tonight is the Guarantees of Grace. There are many struggles in the Christian life. When in a spiritual battle, we have company because all other believers are standing with us. Paul understood these tough times and wrote about them in the 7th chapter of Romans. Read that 7th chapter, and you'll find out the tough times that they experienced. I imagine you read on television where these people were killed at this missionary thing in Arvada and also down in Colorado Springs. That's just the beginning of what things are going to happen, dear friends. The Christians are going to start really, really suffering for what they believe. Now, I didn't say that to scare you off, because you know what? You don't need to be scared off. You need to be brought into the fold if you're not born again. Spiritual conflicts are common to all. Now, these are conflicts between the flesh and the spirit. Sometimes these battles make us feel like giving up. And I read in Romans 7, 19 through 24. For the good things that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All right. Victory and freedom comes only through grace. Friends, listen to me. Grace guarantees us no condemnation. And what did he say in first chapter? Therefore, first verse, is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was watching a TV program, a Christian TV program, not so terribly long ago, and the people were jumping up and down and dancing and waving their hands, and when they sing, they look like they're having a baby. You know, that's not Christianity. That's the flesh. People don't realize that the flesh is out there every day, and we need to battle against it. Now, what? There is, therefore, now no condemnation. Therefore calls for asking what this word is therefore. This guarantees looks back to Paul's spiritual struggle. Well, his conclusion is that only Christ can give the victory. In Romans 7:25, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, Jesus promised us deliverance from condemnation. And I read in John 3:17 and 18, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what did he do? God sent not the Son in the world to condemn the world, but he that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, let me tell you what. You can tell right now whether you're condemned or you're not by just reading those two verses of Scripture. He that believeth on him is not condemned. As this great theologian Henry Offers commented, in the case of those who are in Christ Jesus, this divided state ends in the glorious triumph of the Spirit over the flesh. Now, rejection of Christ as Savior means continued condemnation. And I read in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Friends, when I was a lost alcoholic, the reason I didn't want to come to Jesus because my deeds were evil, and I knew it. Now, maybe tonight you're one of those people that say, well, Cecil, I go to church, I pray, I go to Sunday school, I read my Bible. But have you come to Jesus? Have you trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? If you have not, you're doomed and damned and lost and on the road to hell. See, our faith is based on our salvation, on our faith. Our salvation is based entirely on faith. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This frees us from the law of sin and death. We can neither be saved nor kept by observing the law. Now consider the lost Pharisee and the saved publican. Now the Pharisee, he got up there and he told the Lord what he had done. Why he gave tithes, he did this, he did that. Never once did he mention God. He only mentions I. But the next man, the little publican, was so absolutely under conviction that he smote his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, Jesus said, this man walked away justified. Why? because he had repented and cried out to God to save him. You know, I've got a cousin, bless her heart. She's one of my favorite cousins. She's a year older than I am. I've sent her gospel tapes of my radio broadcast. I've given her books. I've called her on the phone. I've witnessed to her, and I've talked to her about Jesus. And you know what she said to me? Cecil, I'm not such a bad person. I said, honey, it hasn't got anything to do about being bad. It has to do, have you repented and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Because if you have not, you're loosed, you're lost, doomed, and damned. To my knowledge, she never has put her trust in Christ. See, the Pharisee boasted of his law-keeping, but was lost. The publican cast himself on God's grace and was saved. Now, the Galatians tried mixing law and grace and found it futile. We are neither saved nor kept saved through the law, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, but the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, what do you have to do to understand that? Nobody is justified by the law, or the flesh, nor nothing. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and I read in Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Our salvation is based on grace through faith alone. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists God has ever put on this earth. And I'll tell you right now, Billy Graham is not going to get into heaven because he was a great evangelist, because he, millions and millions and millions of people were saved under his ministry over the many years, 50 years he preached. He's going to get in there because one day, as a 17-year-old boy, he realized he was a sinner. He realized he couldn't save himself. And he cried out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, friends, listen. Grace guarantees no separation. And we read in Galatians 8, 35 and 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy day's sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Do you notice it have to be in Christ? Now, grace guarantees us no separation. Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Consider the possibilities. Tribulation, we all have that. Distress, we've all had that. Persecution, we've all had that. There are yet more possibilities. Famine, we've had that. Nakedness, peril, the sword. But nothing can separate us from the Savior's love. Let's say it again. Nay, in 37th verse, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, friends, He will be us through, be with us through tough times, and He will be with us through eternity. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I don't know, you're always insisting that a person has to be born again. Well, yes. Why do I do that? Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As simple as that. How do you be born again? You admit that you're a sinner. You realize that Jesus Christ came in the world to die for not only for the sins of the world, but He came to die for you personally. Then when you cry out, God be merciful to me, and you accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior, then you become one of His. Then He writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, my dear friends. And you know what? There's another thing. A guy asked me one time, well, let's supposing, and I even asked the preacher the same thing, let's supposing I do come to Jesus, and I do bow my head and invite Him into my heart, and my life doesn't change. Well, then you have not been born again. You've had what we call a spiritual spasm. When you truly repent, godly sorrow for your sins, and invite Him into your heart, the Holy Spirit of God will give you the assurance that you are one of His children. That's right. I'm going to ask you, friend, have you responded to God's invitation to salvation? You said, Cecil, I've heard it many times. Have you responded? Come on now, you know whether you have or you haven't. You might be sorrowful for your sins. You might be sorry that you got caught. That's what a lot of people thought about me the morning I cried out to the Lord. I was losing my wife and my family. I had been drunk for weeks. You mean to tell me God would be willing to forgive this wretched sinner? Amen and amen. Oh, beloved, the minute that I invited Christ into my heart, He removed that terrible, terrible hurt. And peace came into my heart that I will never be able to understand or will never be able to explain. But if you've experienced it, then you say, amen, Cecil, I know what you're talking about. But if you haven't, you're scratching your head. You're thinking, what is he saying? Are you resting in the guarantees of grace? Let me ask you this question. Will you share this good news with someone today? If you're born again, you can. If you're not, you cannot. Did you hear me? If you have, you'll be able to share it. I told you the story about Reverend Tom Baird, the man that introduced me to Christ. I guess I'd been a Christian 3 or 4 months. And he called me about 6 o'clock at night, and he said, Brother Mo, I'll be there and pick you up to 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to go out and visit an alcoholic. I said, I can't go, preacher. I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, let me handle that part. Well, he hung up on me, so I got ready, and sure enough, here come my pastor. We got in the car, and he said, now, Cecil, you're going to enjoy what we're going to go through tonight. We got in the house, and Tom talked to him about the Lord and gave him the scriptures and how to be saved, yakety yakety yak. And then he turned to me. He said, Brother Mo, would you tell this alcoholic what Jesus did for you? All of a sudden, I forgot all my timidity, and I was no longer frightened. I had holy boldness, and I began to share with him what Jesus had done for me. I told him how I went to this preacher and got him out of bed at 3 in the morning and told him I was losing my family and I was going to take my life. I had no reason to live. And he assured me I didn't have to take my life. He assured me that if I'd repent of my sins and call upon Jesus, he'd forgive my sins and he'd save me and he'd give peace of mind to me. I did just that. Friends, that's been 52 years ago. I haven't had any desire for drink. God even took my lousy cigarettes away from me. But he did it. All I did was let him. Friends, I'm calling upon you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not been born again, this guarantee of grace is for you. That's right. This grace is for you. Now listen, it says in Romans 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to purpose." All these things, even I'm talking now to the Christian you're going through now, they just think these work together for the good, for those that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. So tonight, dear friends, if there's a tugging at your heart and you feel, "Cecil, I got to get this monkey off my back. I have got to come to Christ," then I tell you what you need to do. You need to bow your head with me, and I ask you not to pray this prayer unless you really mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. And Lord, right tonight, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Tell me what you did. I will not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I want you to go to heaven. That's what I'm guilty of. So you give me a call, 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the charge. my friends, the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I have a special prayer request for a dear friend of mine, Alice Hayes in Bellingham, Washington. She had two stents put in her heart the other day, and I had the privilege of leading her alcoholic husband to Christ and her daughter when she was 9 years old in a church up in there. And they're both in heaven now, and I'm so thankful for the privilege of being able to serve the Lord there in that wonderful little church. I want you to pray for me and my wife and my quartet. Pray that we're just be me and my wife next month in the prison because the rest of them are gone. Pray for us. And I love to go to prison. I tell you, it's the best ministry I've ever had. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.